All right. Well, I asked you what lasting impact did your father have upon you, and I really appreciate your responses. And I understand, and I understand like Judy, what you shared. Yeah, my dad is pretty hard, pretty bad. And that can be some of your experiences, and that can be hurtful for you on Father's Day when it's to be a day of joy, remembering you don't have good memories. And I get that. I appreciate that, Judy, you sharing that. And the fact that, you know what, ultimately, though, we have a Heavenly Father who is perfect in being a father to us. And so that's what we hang on in that situation. But since it's Father's Day, it's a good question to ask. It provides an opportunity for us to think about our dad, if he's still alive. My dad's been gone 23 years, but I still think about him. And I encourage you to take some time to think about your father, and if he's still alive, to call him and let him know. Brandon called his dad today, and I know it meant the world to him, Brandon, and just taking that extra time to do that. I got a text from my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, and just saying, "Hey, happy Father's Day today," and it just means a lot. I think it's good to ask those questions. What are lessons that my dad taught me? And some of them might have been negative, or, you know, like, "Are you stupid?" You know, I had those conversations with my dad too. He more with me. But what spiritual impact did he have upon your life? Over Memorial Weekend, Sherry and I were able to go up to Eagle Point Cemetery. It's where my father is buried. He served in the Navy. If you came in, you saw a picture of a guy there in his outfit, and that's my dad, where the cookies are over there. And we went and visited him and his gravesite. And as I stood over his marker, I began to think about what kind of impact did my dad have upon me? What kind of spiritual influence did he exert on me? And the first thing that came to my mind, just like that, was my dad taught me about God's forgiveness and His grace and how real it was. He taught it to me in many, many ways, whether it was just verbally or just sitting and talking to me, but I still remember to this day when I was 17 years old, my dad talked to me. We were in a conversation in the car. We were in Albertson's parking lot in Grants Pass. And my mom had gone in to do some shopping, and she took a while. And God gave us a conversation. We started talking. I don't know how we even got on the subject. And Dad was saying, "You know, Dwayne, God is such a gracious God, and He forgives us of everything." And he was just letting me know. I said, "Well, Dad, how do you know that?" He says, "Well, son, back when I first came to America, I came as an immigrant in 1927. My dad was 27 at the time." And he began telling me his story. And as I listened to his story, I was like, "This is whole new information. Never heard this before." And he told me, "When I came to America, I was engaged to a girl in England. And I, without even telling her, I just emigrated to America and left her." I go, "Are you kidding me?" And then he said, "Yeah, when I came to America, I was pretty lonely. And so I got married. And we were married. I was married to this pastor's daughter, and after 6 months, she ran off with another guy, but I wasn't a very nice guy either." And my jaw just went to the ground. I'm 17-year-old. I never heard this from my dad before. I said, "Really, Dad?" He said, "Yeah, I was lonely, and I was in a hurry to get married. I should have never gotten married. It wasn't a good fit. Wasn't good, and so we got a divorce." And then my second wife... What? My second wife... We were only married for about 6 years, and her family and this and that, and he began telling me the story. And so we divorced. I was shocked. You know, you don't know a whole lot about your parents. Really, if you think about it, there's a lot of life before that they had before you came on the scene, and you really don't know. And I did not know. 75-year-old sharing with his 17-year-old son. And through the course of that, he shared with me, "Dwayne, I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, and I want you to know God has forgiven me for those, and I'm forgiven. And we serve a God of grace." He taught me through his life. He taught me through his words. He taught me through that moment, that teachable moment, that the God that I believe in, the God of the Bible, is a God who forgives. He's a God of grace. Yes, there are consequences to our actions and to those things. But after some reflection, so I thought about that, and that was the number one thing that I, as I sat there looking at my father's grave marker. And after some reflection, a thought came to my mind, and it was like, well, what are my children going to say about me when they're standing in front of my grave marker, you know? What kind of spiritual influence are they going to say I had in my life had upon them? That's a pretty sobering thought. And in Deuteronomy 6, the Lord says that he presses upon Moses and the Israelites the need to leave a spiritual legacy for the next generation. A legacy is a gift, and a lot of times it's seen as a monetary gift, but really a legacy is more than that. It could be a spiritual legacy. It could be wisdom legacy. It could be a character trait. It could be something that they taught you, that your parent taught you and left for you, and that's a legacy. And in Deuteronomy, God directs Moses, I want you to teach the people to observe my commands so that you, your children, and their children after them will fear the Lord your God. And I want to read that for you, and here's what God said to Moses. It's in Deuteronomy 6. You can turn there. By the way, there's some notes in your outline that you can jot down some things as God speaks some truth to you in that moment that you can take and go with it. It says in Deuteronomy 6, says, these are the commandments, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. The Lord is directing Moses to instruct the people for them to live it out and pass it on to their children and to their children for generations to come so that they would enjoy long life. Now, note well, the key to leaving a spiritual legacy to the next generation is teaching and following God's commands. And that's what the Lord says right here. He says, be careful to obey that it may go well with you. Teach. That's the motive in this passage here. Obey and teach your kids so that they will be blessed by God. The core foundation for leaving a spiritual legacy is teaching, modeling, and following God's commands. So today I want us to think about the spiritual legacy that you have been given and the legacy that you want to leave with your children and for many of us in this room now, grandchildren, as God is so blessed. But I want to go one step beyond that further. I want us to think about as a church family, what does God want to be doing for us together, corporately, to leave a spiritual legacy in this community? What does God want us to do with who we are, where we are right now? Where does He want us to be? What kind of legacy does He want us to leave behind when we're all gone in 20, 30, 40 years? What will be said about First Baptist Church of Ashland in this community? What kind of legacy will we leave behind? So I want to give us two really important principles about leaving a spiritual legacy. I think we all want to leave a spiritual legacy. And I just want to read for you Deuteronomy 6. After the Lord says to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We've studied that the last couple of weeks. He goes on to say, Moses goes on to say, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. And later on in verse 20 says, in the future, when your son asks you, what's the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent miraculous signs and wonders, great and terrible, upon Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us this land that he promised on oath to our forefathers. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God. so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all this law before the Lord our God, as He has commanded us, that will be our righteousness. The first thing that Moses instructed the adults, the people, was this. He said, I want to give you these commandments that I give you today. You, adults, parents, grandparents, are to be upon your hearts. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, body, soul, mind, and strength, I want you adults to live it out first. Here's the key principle. If we're to leave a legacy, a spiritual legacy to our children, to our grandchildren, it's this. A spiritual legacy starts with you having something to give. Now that might seem, well, that seems just pretty obvious, but a spiritual legacy starts with you having something to give. If you and I want to pass on to our children and our grandkids a spiritual legacy, a gift, you and I must possess that gift in order to leave it behind to our children. You cannot pass on what you don't possess. You can't impress what I don't possess. And so what Moses is saying is, folks, parents, you follow these commands with all your hearts first. It's got to be lived out in you. You have to own this. You have to possess this. Our children, they need to see our relationship with the Lord is real. Whatever spiritual legacy we want to pass on to them, we must first experience it ourselves and have lived it out. Otherwise, we have nothing to impress upon them. The spiritual legacy gifts my father impressed upon me were lived out through the course of his life. I saw them in his life. And the story I just told you, what was the first thing that God taught me through my father? What did he leave me? He experienced God's forgiveness several times in his life. He experienced the grace of God in his life. And so as we're sitting in that parking lot in Albertsons, he can pass on the truth that Dwayne, the God that we live for, the God we serve, is a God who forgives. He's a God of grace. You can take that to the bank, son. And he passed that on to me. There was another thing that my father passed on to me. It was in the words he would always tell me, son, you can never outgive the Lord. Dad was a janitor. All his life, for the most of his life, he sold Bibles. He was a bartender during the Depression. He did all sorts of things, but basically he was a janitor. Do janitors make a whole lot of dough? No. You know, but he was a janitor. He had an eighth grade education. And yet, growing up, what did I know? We lived a pretty simple life. Money in the envelopes, and when the envelopes have no more money in it, you just do without for the rest of the month. And I remember, though, my dad would always give on Sunday morning. He would tithe. And again, my dad and mom didn't make a whole lot of money, but he always gave to the Lord. And I remember him giving to missionaries. We had missionaries over to our house, and he would give to them extra. He served in the church. He worked in the church. And yet his attitude was, son, you can never outgive the Lord. And even though he didn't have a whole lot, God would provide him with strength, with the ability to do things. I remember tearing down houses with my dad when he was in his late 70s. And he would sell the lumber, and he again would tithe everything he made to the Lord. To this day, you know what he's done? He's left me with an incredible spiritual legacy. He's also left me and my sister a house down here in Ashland on a janitor's salary. And I'm still reaping the blessings of my inheritance from a janitor without an eighth grade education, with just an eighth grade education. Those words from my dad still speak to me today. And so when it's time for me to give something, I need to go, okay, Lord, maybe I don't want to part with this. I'm going to do it because, Lord, we can never outgive you. And that has been a principle in my life. Why? Because my dad owned that truth about God. Well, once the parents take to heart God's commands by living them out, they were then to impress them upon their children. And note the content. What was the content of what they were to impress on them? It says, impress them upon your children. What's the them referring to? The commandments of God. And so what he's saying is, God's word, what Moses just gave you folks, is to be impressed in your heart, in your life, and you're to pass that on to your children. And it's not the Canaanite philosophies that are out there, though they're bogus. It's not even your own ideas, but it's God's precepts. So what were they to do? The Hebrew word there was shinan. It means to sharpen. So what they were to do was to sharpen God's word upon your children. And that's what the parents were supposed to do. They were to sharpen God's word with their kids. The idea was to impress these commands upon the hearts of your children. Teach them diligently. The word of God is a good translation. So here's the second principle. It is my responsibility to make a deep, lasting spiritual impression upon my children. And I want to add to that, to my grandchildren. It's your responsibility, my responsibility, to make a deep, lasting spiritual impression upon my children. How do you do that? Well, as we've already said, first of all, it's living out God's word before them. Live it out before them so they see it. Charles Spurgeon had this little quote. It's good. It's in one of the quotes with the cookies today, too. Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself first. Train up a child in the way he should go, but be sure you go that way yourself first. And that's what he's talking about. So we live it out before our kids' eyes, and then we diligently teach them God's word throughout the natural course of living. We teach to the heart. Laura, I remember your dad and your mom. And one of the things I really appreciate about him was how he took time to teach you guys biblical truth. He took that role really important, seriously. And I see it lived out in your life. And I know that's going to go on to the next generation. So, but how do you do that? How do you impress God's word upon your kids and your grandkids' hearts? Well, in the passage in Deuteronomy, it kind of says it. It says, impress upon them, talk about them, God's commands. When you sit at home, when you walk on the road, when you lie down, when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and upon your gates. You know how you impress God's word upon your children? What's really cool is that God has given a natural relationship between parent and child where the child wants to believe in what the parent has to say early on. And the child wants to listen. I remember with my dad, as a son, I longed to be with my dad. I wanted to be around him, and I wanted to listen to what he had to say because he's dad. And God's already built that naturally into the heart of a child with both mom and dad. A desire to please mom and dad, a desire to listen to them if we would have the relationship with them. That's why a man by the name of George Herbert said, one father is more than 100 school teachers. The reason for that is because God has put naturally within the heart of a child a desire to listen, a desire to please mom and dad, if we would instill that in them. I remember going to work with my dad and working, going out in the yard with him and just wanting to be with him, and he would teach me all sorts of things. But I wanted to be with him to learn from him. So how else do we impress upon the hearts of our kids through extended time together? You've heard this, the comment about, well, I'm going to plan quality time with my kid. You can't do that. It's not a matter of planning quality time. It's quality conversations and connections come when there's a quantity of time. One of the greatest things we need to do is to take the time to be with our children, with our grandchildren. And out of that will come the wisdom that God will give us. I remember working with my dad, and like I said, I was in high school, and he was tearing down houses in his 70s. And we'd be talking, and back in the 70s, there were hippie communes out in Illinois Valley. And they were smoking their dope way back then and doing all sorts of stuff and whatnot. And here you have this 70-year-old man who's tearing down houses all over Grants Pass area, and word gets out, and the hippies go, "Hey, go see Baden. He's a great guy. He'll sell you some great lumber." And my dad would love on those hippies. Didn't agree with them necessarily with how they lived or what they believed, but he loved on them. And he would give them good deals, and so he had a great reputation out in Tacoma. Go see Baden, the old man that tears down the houses in Grants Pass. Okay, through those extended times together with my dad, he taught me something. You don't have to agree politically. You don't have to agree with other people and how they live. But you do need to love them. Something about loving your neighbor as yourself. And God instilled that in me through my father's example, through extended times together, through uninterrupted times together. You know, as you sit down, as you walk on the road, as you sit, as you lie. I remember one time I was sitting there after a baseball game. I was competitive. I've kind of mellowed out in my old age. But I was competitive. I hated losing. I would throw my helmet and all sorts of stuff. My kids were better than me with that regard. But I was competitive. And I remember one time after a game, my dad came up to me and I was angry and upset. And he says, "Son, it's not whether you win or lose the game. It's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game that matters." Wow. It was just in the natural course of everyday events that Dad would speak into my life. And through, oftentimes it was through the normal, mundane, daily, normal events that God would speak. I remember still to this day, and I apologize if I shared this a few months ago, I might have, but I still remember to this day, we're out by the green Toyota pickup truck, and I'm grumbling and complaining and saying, "I don't want to do this chore," and I was irritated, and I was in high school, and I didn't want to pull weeds or whatever the job was. And my dad didn't get upset very often. He didn't get irritated with me. But boy, when he said something, you better listen. And he said, "Son, there are things in my life that I don't want to do either. But you know what? I do them because it's the right thing to do, and you got to get it done." Oh, total rebuke, right? During the normal course of events of life, God used my dad. I still remember where we were standing. I still remember those words, and those words followed me for the rest of my life. There are times in my 32 years of ministry you don't feel like doing some things. That truth comes through. You might not feel like doing it, Dwayne, but you do it. Sunday's coming or whatever. You just get after it, and you need to get her done. And those truths still come to me today. And it might be through intentional conversations. I remember my dad quoting Colossians 3:17. In fact, I have a flag of my father, and I put it, encased it, and I have a writing on there, and it's Colossians 3:17, because this was his life verse. He would tell me these verses. He'd say, "And whatever you do, whether you in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." He would teach me that verse. You know how he taught me? He spoke that verse to me. He said, "Son, one of my favorite verses is this. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God." He spoke it to me. He taught me that word. But you know how he really taught me it? He lived it. He did it. He was a janitor at Jackson County Courthouse for many years of his life. People loved him there. I would go there after school, and I would go there, "Hey, Robbie, how you doing?" He was one of the most popular people in the whole county courthouse. The judges loved him and knew him. The people, the office people, the clerks, everybody. "Hey, there's Robbie." They loved him. And at his retirement, there were lots of people there. Why? Because whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And do it well. And my father instilled that in me. And I remember other times him saying, son, he would say this all the time, son, do your best as unto the Lord. So, it was all of those times as we were just going through life that Dad would teach me godly spiritual truths. It was hardly ever in a classroom where we would sit down and he'd pull up a chair and I'd pull up a chair and he would just lecture me. That's the worst way. It was just as we were going through life, there were teachable moments where he would show me how God wanted me to live. And so, with that, I just want to leave this with you and me today. What is the application for us as parents, as grandparents? Invest time with your children while they're young. It's in those early years that you formulate the trust relationship so that you can pour into them later on. And so live out your faith before them. Talk about your God. Tell them His ways. Tell them your failures. I still remember the day that my dad said, Dwayne, I was mad at God. Really, Dad? Yeah. Your younger sister, Carolyn Jean, lived only 2 weeks and then she died. And I was angry with God. Why would He do this to us? And I was so forward-looking to having children. He says, but I talked to some other people at church and they shared with me they lost some of their kids too. And he says, son, we live in a difficult world. There's going to be loss. There's going to be heartache. There's going to be death. And he says, I realize that that's our lot in this life. And I've got to just turn to the Lord and walk with Him and trust Him. Another lesson he taught me. And so for us as parents and grandparents, you know, we need to share and be real with our kids. We need to live it out in front of their eyes. We need to tell them. For our church family, I want to encourage you with this. We need to invest in the lives of younger parents. The Stutzmans, you know, minister to them. Minister to their kids. My wife loves teaching their kids and being in Sunday school class. We need to take the time to get to know the next generation. We need to take the time to go babysit their kids or give them a night out so they can have a break. Reach out to them, say, hey, I'm praying for you. You know? And that's a way that we can minister. Work in the nursery. We have kids, man, I'd love to set up an adult with some of our middle school, high school kids and just mentor them, just be with them, hang with them. That's a way to leave a spiritual legacy. The question today is, will you leave a spiritual legacy, and what kind of spiritual legacy will you leave? You don't have to be a parent. You don't have to be a grandparent. When I was at Eagle Point Cemetery, I came across the headstone of Leon Gluntz. And I was going, I didn't know Leon was out here. Leon Gluntz was my high school Sunday school teacher. Leon Gluntz didn't have any children. And yet he taught high school kids, and I still remember this name, me and Ron Brown. Boy, pastor's son, we got into all sorts of fun things at church. And I still remember a group of us boys, and Leon was our teacher, and every Sunday he brought us donuts. Scott, you know, Marty, yeah, he brought us donuts. And we would talk about the things of God. And what did Leon Gluntz teach me? He taught me how to listen to God and to share the good news, because he was an evangelist kind of guy, every week. So as I sit at Leon's Gluntz's headstone and I look at him and I go, Leon, thank you for teaching me to be sensitive to God and share Christ. And even though you're gone, Leon, you impacted this man's life. And so I want to encourage us, what kind of spiritual legacy will you leave? The principle is a legacy starts with you having something to give. Secondly, principle, it's my responsibility, it's our responsibility to make a deep, lasting spiritual impression upon my children or upon the next generation. God wants to use you. It's never too late for that. You might say, I'm in my 80s, 90s. I can't do that anymore. That's okay. You know what you can do? You can pray. That is the most powerful thing you can do, in leaving a spiritual legacy for the next generation. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for a day in which we can remember our dads. And Lord, I thank you for the impact that they've had upon our lives. I thank you, Lord, for the things they taught us in the moment, in the normal course of life. And Father, we want to be people who will leave a spiritual legacy with our children, with our grandchildren, with others. And Lord, we recognize that we need to take responsibility for that. So God, would you help us? Would you help us, Lord, to be the men and women of God, that, Lord, we would pass on something that we own, truth about you, and we would pass it on to the next generation. So, Lord, thank you for how you've blessed us with many people in our lives, not just fathers, but many other people who have left behind a spiritual legacy for us. Oh, Lord, that we would do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Alone in my sorrows, I'm dead in my sin. Lost without hope, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remained. In my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began.
Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you.
Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt, he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began.
Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
Our Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced that the heavens had lost. Let Jesus arose, our feeling red hand. When death was arrested, my life began. That's when death was arrested, my life began.
Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new, now life begins with you.
Oh, we're free, free. Join the song
of all the redeemed.
Yes, we're free, free forever. Amen. when death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the songs of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever. Death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. That's when death was arrested and my life began.
Amen. That's right. So today I want you to enjoy your Heavenly Father who never fails you. I want you to think of your own Father and thank the Lord for the good and the bad, but what He taught you. And before you leave, if you need prayer, Ed and Phyllis are going to be right up here and they'd love to pray with you. Also, one thing I forgot to announce, we're going to have a quarterly business meeting June 30th, 5 o'clock here. We sent out a letter to our membership. The deacons are going to be recommending that we accept the recommendations from the church assessment. We had that meeting last Sunday. And so in the back of the sanctuary, if you did not get these regular tenders, people are interested, there's a sheet right here, three pages. It outlines what the recommendations are and that we will be voting on that on June 30th. We want you to be praying about it in the next few weeks, taking it before the Lord, and then we're going to have a vote on June 30th. So I encourage you to take this, read it. If you have questions, we would love to answer. Any of our deacons would love to meet with you, talk with you. They'll be available before and after morning worship services. And then again on the 30th at 5 o'clock, we'll have our business meeting. Okay, Lord, we want to thank you. We thank you for being our Heavenly Father. You never fail us. You are perfect in being a Father to us. Lord, thank you for our own earthly fathers. Some of them were awesome. Some of them struggled, Lord, and we acknowledge that. But Father, we thank you for them, for what they did teach us, what they are teaching us. And I pray for our dads today, Lord, as they minister to their children, that, Lord, you would use them to have a great impact, to have that spiritual impact upon the hearts of their children. And for us as grandparents, Lord, use us that we might minister to our grandkids, show them the way to you, Jesus. When it all is said and done, they would say, Grandma, Grandpa, love Jesus. And they showed me the way to Him. And so, Lord, today we just dismiss us in your grace and in your mercy. You're our great God, and we love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Lord, bless you.